desired freedom. It doesn't matter whether it was a war in a POW camp. It doesn't matter if they came across on a slave ship and was in prison and slavery here. It doesn't matter. Man's always seeking for freedom. And even in our society, there are those who are looking for freedom, and they've got real freedom confused. They think freedom is being able to be free to say or to do whatever their heart desires. That's not real freedom. Real freedom is expressed and really experienced when our sins are forgiven and when our sins are washed away. He tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 9, he says, "Let the wicked forsake his ways," talking about repentance here, "and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he that hath mercy," he said, "he will have mercy upon him, and to our God," return to our God, "for he will abundantly pardon." I'm preaching this morning about abundant forgiveness. It's wonderful to know today that I can stand before you and that God Almighty holds nothing against me. I have been completely forgiven. Now, you've known me and I've pastored you for many, many years, and you have seen the cracks and the wear in my veneer. But at best, we're men and we fail. We're flawed. We make mistakes. But God looks at us as pristine and pure because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you rejoice in that tonight? And we see here that we should have a deep, deep appreciation for our forgiveness. I don't know if there'd be anyone here who would stand and would crow about how wonderful they are and how much they've done for God. But I think we would probably hang our head and smote our breast and not as much as look up at him and seek for God's forgiveness. Our sins are not just covered. Our sins have been cleansed. It's wonderful when my wife comes in and she's been out of town or something, or she's been out on a trip. I may cover some things, you know, but she's a cleaner. She knows, you know, you've just covered this. You've been eating chips in the living room. Why would you say that? Well, they're all in the floor here. And that wouldn't happen if I hadn't stood up. And you know, she sees things. There's been a few times I've had to wrap my shirt up and go out on the patio and do that, but she still can tell. And she cleanses. I cover things. And when it comes to salvation, God not only covers us, he cleanses us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What would life be without God's forgiveness? Well, let me say that there would be no entry into heaven. There's no way we could go into heaven without the cleansing of God, without his full forgiveness. Let me say, every funeral service would be a prelude to hell. There'd be no hope of heaven for us. If it wasn't for God's forgiveness, there would be no knowledge of love. There would be no hope for any person or to see them again. If there was no God's forgiveness, there would be no mercy. If there was no God's forgiveness, there would be no movable guilt about us. If we ask God for forgiveness, we can be sure that he grants it. I love talking to little children, and recently we've had some of our smaller children saved, and I've talked with them about the Lord. Their parents have brought them to me, and I'll ask them. I remember talking with Lucy May and talking with her, and I said, "Now, have you asked the Lord to forgive you?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Did he wash your sins away?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Are you sure God heard you?" And she looked at me, she said, "Yes, yes, he did." The faith of a little child. The Bible says it's that we come to the to Christ as little children. And we see here that we can be assured. I have talked with people who have led some sinful and some extremely wicked lives, and they wonder if their sins can be forgiven. I've been preaching in prisons where I've told people God can forgive you. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been, God can forgive you and can restore you. Now, I think it's interesting to know that he tells us in verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way." The wicked have got to see the errors of his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And we need to return to the Lord that he will have mercy upon us, and to our God so that he will abundantly forgive him. There is a measure of understanding here that we must repent of our sins. Repentance is when we repent, it's an about face the Bible talks about. It deals with godly sorrow. And we should be sorrowful about our sins for not what they've just done to us and to others, but for what they have done to the Lord Himself. But we can have this wonderful assurance. There are those who question that. Some might ask, what are the qualities to which God responds to? Some might ask, with what urgency should we seek Him with? This passage in Isaiah 55 presents one of the greatest assurance in the Bible that God does hear and does respond to our sincere request and grants us forgiveness. Notice three things this morning, if you would, or this afternoon. Let me suggest that we should seek the Lord. In verse 6, he said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. In my notes here, I have underlined seek. We are to seek the Lord. We're not to seek church membership. We're not to seek to be baptized. We're not to seek anything that we can do. Anything that I do better than you has nothing to do with salvation. It's not what we can do. We need to come to the Lord in repentance and cry out to God for forgiveness. He says, seek. Then he says, while he may be found, while he is near. We need to pursue the Lord. This is primary, not secondary. It is an active pursuit. It's not passive. To pursue God is to allow nothing to stand in our way of reaching God. Seek the Lord. The word seek, it means deliberately stepping towards God in prayer and sacrifice. Deuteronomy 4:29 says this, But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. And thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. We need to actively seek the Lord for forgiveness. And then notice, seek the Lord, not just actively, but urgently. The Bible tells us, it says here twice, while he may be found, while he is near. There are people who actually believe that they'll get saved when they're ready to get saved. They'll get saved when they think that they are ready for that. There are those who feel like, well, I believe in Christ and I believe in salvation, but I know there's certain things that I can't do if I receive Christ. So I want to live my life. I want all the gusto I can get. And this matter about eternal life, this matter about forgiveness, this matter about my sins, I'll take care of all that a little bit later. I'll make a decision. But the Bible speaks differently of that. God is not always equally accessible. Did you know that? God's not always equally accessible. God is not some cosmic genie that we fold our arms and bink like that, and God is just there on our command. He's not summoned at our own whims. There is a moment of time. There's a window of opportunity when we must seek the Lord. The writer tells us here in the Scriptures, while he may be found, while he is near. What does that mean? When God is stirring you, when God is talking to you, when God is pricking your heart, God is dealing with you. That's the time you need to come. There are moments of time and windows of opportunity when we must seek the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says it this way, for he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepting time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Jesus warned his disciples of the urgency for decision now. Jesus says in John 12, verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. It's crucial. This is a crucial spiritual moment when God deals with the soul of an individual, and that moment must be grasped at that time while he, as the Scripture says, may be found while he is near. We need to seek the Lord with an intense priority. Seek him with an intense priority. Secondly, let me say we should seek the Lord with a positive expectancy. We should have a positive expectancy when we seek God. He tells us in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his faults. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I have sat with people, and they have had years of living for self and gratifying flesh and serving the devil, and they're ashamed of themselves, and they'll make a profession of faith, and they'll ask God to forgive them. They'll come back several times to me, thinking, do you think God's really forgiven me for everything? I'm going to tell you this, for every bit of it. He tells us here very clearly that when we seek the Lord, we should seek Him with an intense priority, actively about it, with repentance, but we should seek Him with a positive expectancy. We can believe God will have mercy and will give us pardon. What are the conditions of this pardon? Well, a pardon relates to a sincere repentance. I can't not stress this enough. I don't think repentance is preached today, but the Bible speaks about it. Jesus speaks about it. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance isn't about face. Confession is agreeing with God about your sin. And we see here that pardon relates to a sincere repentance, and we must lay aside that habitual course of sinful living. It should grieve us, godly sorrow, and repentance is the missing note in the modern church today. There are those who want to tell you how to have a bigger life, a better life, a happier life, a better marriage, a sweeter marriage, a stronger marriage, but not much repentance being preached, being taught. There must be an inward radical change of disposition. When you're saved, there's an inward happening that takes place. We're not baptized to be saved. We're baptized to show the inward happening, to express that openly, to identify ourselves with the Lord. There's reformation. Without repentance, it's not enough. We have a large programs in our country trying to rehabilitate man. In our prison system, in other places that are court-ordered drug rehab places, we're trying to rehab, we're trying to rehabilitate man. We're trying to change his outward. That would be wonderful if we could do that, but we can't do that because man, he doesn't need rehabilitation, he needs regeneration. He must be born again from his heart. And brother, that regeneration brings about a reformation. When we come to God, or when we come back to God, there will be a sincere inward change that brings about an outward visible change. We believe God, and God will show us His mercy and give us His pardon. Now, this pardon relates to the certainties, the absolute certainties of salvation. The very act of turning to God is an expression of His mercy. The fact that God deals with us shows us His love to us, His mercy to us. Child of God, when God convicts us, it's because He loves us. And it shows His involvement in our life. His grace met us more than halfway. God's pardon is not something that's stingy. It's not something that's scant. It's not something that's begrudging. He will freely, fully, completely, absolutely pardon our sin. Can you say amen over that? In verse 7, he says, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly, fully, completely pardon. God, he delights to pardon when we come to him in repentance. Did you know that? You know, all of heaven rejoices when one turns from their sin and is converted. All the angels in heaven rejoice. I'm not sure they rejoice any other time like what they do when a sinner finds his way to God. God delights to pardon. God doesn't want to judge. God doesn't want to bring recompense upon us for our sins. He wants to forgive us. He wants to pardon us. In Romans 5, verse 20, the Bible says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So what does that mean, Pastor? That means that God never has a shortage of grace. That means that God's never running low on grace. That means whoever you are, and if you're watching me this morning live, if you're replaying this for later, you may be in a very difficult place where you're at right now, but I want you to know God can be there with you. God can minister to you. God can meet your needs. His grace is sufficient. His grace is capable. His grace does abound even more. When we look in these scriptures, we see that we are instructed to seek the Lord. And let me say, seek Him with an intense priority. We're told to seek the Lord. Seek Him with a positive expectancy. Does God hear and answer? Yes, He does. And then lastly, let me say that we're told to seek the Lord with an assured certainty. We should have an assured certainty. Somebody says, do you know that you're going to heaven? Absolutely. How do you know that? Because my name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do you know that? Because I read it in the Word of God. How do you know that's right? Because God said it was so. You come on, bring it on. Don't mess with that guy with a dog-eared Bible. He'll take it to you. Man, I'm on my way to heaven. I can swing across hell and a rotten grapevine, and I don't worry about falling in because I'm in the hand of God. Nothing can come in there. We have His protection. We have His presence. We have His promotion. We have His provision. All that we are and all that we have is because we are in Him. Hallelujah for that. And we see here that we are to seek Him with an assured certainty. God's forgiveness is better than mere man can image or imagine, rather. Man can't even imagine the grace and the goodness of God. God is good. He's always been good. He will always be good. God is great. God is right. And He's always been right, will always be right. He says in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Man cannot even conceive the love of God. Oh, listen, I want to say it to you. God loves us immensely that we cannot even comprehend. Let me tell you this. His blood washes completely. Let me tell you this. He's got a city in heaven. It's a celestial city where we'll live forever in joy and in peace. I know that. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. You see, the guilty man, the reality of absolute forgiveness appears impossible to him. He knows his guilt. He knows his crimes. He knows the terrible, horrific things he's committed. So to have absolute, complete, full forgiveness doesn't even seem to be possible to him. The narrow, guilt-ridden minds of man cannot even imagine the vast goodness and forgiveness of God. The Lord is great. The Lord is better than what our imagination is. He says, as the heaven is high above the earth. We can't fathom all the goodness. We can't fathom all the things that God has for us as His children. God's forgiveness is better than what mere man can imagine. God's forgiveness is more certain than what man can imagine. He says in verse 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, or your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven are higher, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Bible provides us with an assurance that God's purposes and God's promises are irreversible. In other words, God doesn't save us and then think, yeah, I made a mistake there. I've looked at some Christians and I wonder if God thought that. I looked at myself and I wondered, you know, would God change His mind on that? The Lord's forgiveness is universal. It's for the world. And it is timeless in principle. We see here that when we seek the Lord, we should seek Him with all intense priority. We should seek Him with positive expectancy. And we should seek Him with assured certainty. You see, God's forgiveness is better than what we can imagine. God's forgiveness is certain, more certain than we can imagine. And then, let me say, the assurance of our forgiveness rests rest in the character of Almighty God. The assurance of salvation, listen, are you listening? Me having a heavenly home, me knowing that I'm going to heaven, it does not rest in me or my performance. It is sealed to telestai on the performance of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah for that. 1 Samuel 15 says this in verse 28 and 29. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to the neighbor of thy, it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. Look what he says, for he is not a man that he should repent. God is not a man that changes his mind. God is not a man that is fickle in what he thinks. God is God. He's almighty. He's sovereign. Let me tell you something. God speaks and the Red Sea parts. God speaks and the axe heads swim. God speaks and the sun stands still. And God speaks and our sins are forgiven. Micah chapter 7 verse 19 says that he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Powerful. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I can't read that without thinking of it. Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom, who is a Gentile who helped the Jews in the great Holocaust. And herself and her sister Betsy and her father, the master clockmaker, being hauled off, put in the back of trucks, never to see their father again. Corrie ten Boom looks through the glass of an execution house and sees bodies piled to the top and her sister Betsy laying there. Corrie ten Boom came to this country and shared the gospel and her experiences. And she said that in this passage where it says, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. She would say that my sins have been cast into the deepest seas. And God floats a buoy there that says no fishing allowed. We can be sure of seeking. We can be sure of seeking and finding forgiveness. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. And let me tell you something about seeking the Lord. I have noticed that I begin to misplace some things. I see already I have some folks in my club. And where did I put that? Now, I want to say it wasn't something that I moved 10 minutes ago, but it's something that I've put away that is precious to me, and I want to put it in a safe place. And now I can't remember. It's so safe, it's safe for me. Now, I've torn things apart, and I've looked everywhere. I've gone through all the consoles in the cars and the glove boxes. I've looked in the trunk. I've looked through other areas that I put stuff. I looked through all my bookcases. I went through all my drawers. Debbie's so good about putting my clothes away. She comes and opens. She can't get the drawer open, and she sees that I've been in there looking for stuff. Any man, can I hear amen from a man or testify from a man? I look at that and think, well, that sure is pretty. Man, go find it. I can't find it. And I'm ashamed to say this, but I'm trying to find something else, and I've run across what I was looking for 2 weeks ago. And when I do, I'm so happy and overjoyed, I forgot what I was looking for initially. But when we seek the Lord, it's not a chore like that. We don't have to go through drawers and go and lift and move rocks, and we don't have to tear the car apart, and we don't have to strip our side of the closet down, and we don't have to get a shovel and go dig in the backyard. Let me tell you something. The Lord is there. And He wants us to find Him. The Lord is seeking us. He came to seek and to save the lost. God's pardon, God's forgiveness. Let me say three things and I'm done. God's pardon and forgiveness is available to all. It's not just for a white person or a black person or a brown person or a yellow person. It's for the whole world. It's available to all. God's pardon, God's forgiveness, it is abundant and free. And then God's pardon, God's forgiveness, it is amazing and certain. And it's there for you. Now, you may be here this morning and you may be saved, but still the devil has ways with you that he cheapens your salvation by causing you to grieve over stuff of the past. But I want to tell you this. That's B.C. That's before Christ. Put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. You may be saved and you may have a time in your life that you strayed away, you walked away. But I want you to know, don't you let the devil take that and depress you and oppress you and to rule over you. That's been put underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. You think so, Pastor? Absolutely sure of it. He tells us so. And God's people said, stand with me. Lord, oh, how we love you. And Lord, how we thank you that your salvation is, your pardon is free. It's certain. It's amazing. It is true freedom. And we know the devil has a counterfeit for everything you offer. And there are those who swallow the lie that if they'll drink this, if they'll take this, if they'll live this way, if they'll go to this place of wretchedness and riotous living, that they will experience ecstasy and true freedom. But not so. Freedom only comes through Christ. Real freedom. Lord, impress upon us that you are near now. Now is the time, the accepting time. Now is the day of salvation. May people be saved today. And then, Lord, those of us who have been saved and we have suffered, we've been a fool and we've lived a sketchy life, a life of wretchedness, as the words of the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark and prize of Jesus Christ. Let us rejoice that those things too are forgiven, purged, cleansed. And today we stand before you as holy as we ever could. May we walk with clearness of mind and purity in conscience, because of the forgiving power of Almighty God. Bless in our invitation this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Oh, listen, we can come this morning and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that all those sins have been cast as far as the east from the plunge into the deepest sea, cleansed, washed away. All my sins are gone. There's some of us here. Maybe we grew up in a wonderful Christian home and we never tasted alcohol. We never did drugs. And man, we never went to the picture show. But let me tell you this, our sins are great and they too have been forgiven. I'm telling you, folks, the children of God need to rejoice that they are abundantly pardoned. You come as God leads you this morning, this afternoon. Come now.